Here we go, and we are live. Let's try this again. Waffle Mafia Podcast number 23. I apologize, guys. Had some technical issues there. Broadcasting on the regular Facebook as opposed to Lucky Legends, which is where we have to be. So this is Waffle Pop Mafia Podcast number 23. Welcome back in. For those of you who are jumping in, appreciate you guys doing what you do. What's going on, Ruddy Rudd? What's happening, Mr. Itis? Cheers to you. No pause for the calls. Let's get this thing underway. Sorry to make you wait there, guys. Had some problems. I actually went live on my regular Facebook instead of Lucky Legends Facebook. And so, as you all know, some of you are my friends on Facebook. Some of you are friends on Lucky Legends. So, it broadcast over on the regular Facebook group, and away we went. And the whole world, or at least friends of mine who have no idea what the Waffle Mafia Podcast is, now just got a little dose of that. So there you go. What's happening there, Mr. Manlore? Round two, Dano says. You know what it be. What's happening, Wilson? Everything's backwards from normal is actually the correct way. Yeah, for once, using Mama's laptop, so set it up a little bit different tonight. And hopefully you guys can see things a little bit better. And at least, I don't know if that's an improvement to see my ugly mug better, but you know what it be. Went live like that last night. Yeah, it's easy to do. I mean, I don't think Facebook is very clear about where you are when you're doing things. So I clicked the old live button, got ready to get going for you guys, and just happened to be on the wrong page. So there you go. It's all good, man. You got to spread the Motu love, even for those folks that don't know nothing about it. So little pause for the calls. Let's get this underway. Going to do a little bit of clawful today. So if you guys saw the preview, you saw the claw popping up, grabbing the old waffles. So going to talk a little bit of clawful and see if we can't catch crabs tonight in Lucky Legends. And so for anybody who's in the chat room talking and listening, of course, you guys know how we do. I'm going to have a special wheel tomorrow night for you. So for everybody who gets in tonight, says a comment in the comments, whatever it may be, tomorrow night you'll get a shot from me. So we'll do a separate little wheel for tomorrow night. That'll be something special for jumping into the podcast. And then, of course, we will roll with Thirsty Thursday and do our normal thing. Like I said before, didn't get a chance to say it, I think, on this video. I said it on another. But have a little pause for the calls. My Waffle Mafia glass was dirty, so we're doing 16-ounce He-Man pints, and that's what it be. So it's a pause for the calls to you from me. What's happening, Boogie? What's happening, my friend? Boogie's in the room. What's happening there, John? Saw the claw. You know what it be. I want nothing, just your love. You got all of that. So for anybody who's listening who is not a part of the Waffle Mafia, who are not aware of what we do, come join up with some of these great groups, fool. We got Lucky Legends, got Lord of Destruction Waffles, the place that started it all, the God Waffler. You put the horse head in your bed. We've got Most Powerful Waffles with Johnny Miz and Cassandra. They do their thing over there. And, of course, this week we celebrated the return to Sunday night. Joito Josue back doing his Sunday slot with Law Wheel, doing that over on Sunday night. So if you are not a part of Law Wheel, go check him out. Support our brother Joito. He's our brother from another mother down the way, and finally got back this past week to play. So it was good to see Joito back on his wheel doing his thing. What's happening, Mr. Amato? Joey Boom Boom in the room. What's happening, my dude? You said you're safe from the horse head, Ruth. I really don't trust anything David says, because any man that has that many toys hidden beneath his house in an underground bunker, like I said, he's knocked off a few people to get there, man, and he just doesn't care who gets in his way. And that's for all the toys for the mega for which we play. So a little pause for the calls. Let's keep that going, man. And let's talk about old Clawful if we can. Now, we normally do the weekly waffle wrap-up, talk about what has happened this week in waffles, what's new, what do we do. Really, last week, we talked about Trap Jaw on the podcast. So, obviously, we did Trap Jaw for Thirsty Thursday. Just like tonight, we'll talk about Clawful for the podcast, but we will do Clawful tomorrow night for Thirsty Thursday. But on Saturday, we got wild. We went to Preternia. We did a little bit of that Preternia stuff. We had Eldor. We had Hero. Had King Hiss. So anything really that was tying into Preternia had King Hiss men on card. Did Hero with the double staff. So he had one staff as Green Gem, one staff Purple Gem. Who else do we have up there? Preternia Disguise He-Man. So, of course, with the Preternia theme, you got to have Preternia He-Man. Evening Gown He-Man, if you will, whatever you'll call him. Pancreas Dress He-Man. I've seen that a couple of times this week. I don't know if that was the autocorrect or what the deal was with that. But old Pancreas He-Man jumping in there. So we did that on Saturday night. And, of course, spin the wheel multiple times. And for those of you all who maybe are listening at a later time and don't know what we do, Thirsty Thursday's a little get-together where we have a little fun or two and say some rhymes and have good times. And if you guys want to come be a part of that, that's 11 o'clock on Thursdays. We do Thirsty Thursday. And, of course, we'll do it up big this week as well. What's up, David? Edward Nieto, what's happening, my friend? Naito, I probably slayed your name. I apologize. I'm terrible with that. What's up, Bro Cephas? What's happening, my dude? A lot to talk about, really, within the Masters community this week. Of course, last week we got to talking about Super 7 was letting us know what was going on with the with our last wave of figures that we're waiting on. So those being shipped out February the 20th, barring any kind of delays or anything that might hold them up any further. But at least at this point, out of Super 7's hands, they've done everything they can. They are now coming on a boat and will be shipped from Super 7 out to us, of course, as soon as they have them. So for those of you who have orders in at Big Bad Toy Store, there were some problems with the shipping stuff last time where some boxes got beat up from Super 7, and maybe you missed a chance to get in on that pre-order and you still want to get a hold of those waves. You can always go over to BigBadToyStore.com. They do have those there. It is a little bit more expensive to buy it through BigBadToyStore.com, but there is an option where you can select two extra dollars to have a little nicer package or a little bit nicer card, and they guarantee that it looks nice. If you are one of those folks that like for things to be pristine, you were to get it, it was messed up, you could always holler back at BBTS, and they would take care of it for you and replace that. So that's a very cool option if you guys have a couple of extra dollars and want to throw at that, or if, again, you missed the pre-order and you still want to jump in, you can do that too. What's up, Samisha McKee? What's happening, girl? Our luck, the boat will sink. You know that's right. It's worth the extra money to do it through BBTS, especially if you don't want all the figures to set. I agree, Rubman. So it's one of those things where, obviously, through Super 7, you have to order the whole wave. And there were some folks who were wanting to order just individual figures. You didn't want the particular ones that were in the wave, but Super 7 has it set up to where it will allow you to select a single figure. However, when you go to check out, if you not purchase the whole wave, it basically just cancels the order and it won't actually go through. So some folks have said they've had some success with the order still going through. I personally haven't seen it, but Super 7 did warn against it. So if you need the option to buy an individual figure out of a wave, one that you wanted to get, that you were not able to get through the pre-order because you didn't want to order them all, you can always go over to Big Bad Toy Store, order them individually. They tend to be $50. So, you know, not that big of a markup if we look at $35 versus $50. Of course, Big Bad Toy Store's got to make their money on it, and that's just what it is. But the availability's there for those folks who have not been able to get a hold of those figures already. Let's see what else we got going on. It's too green. What up, what up? What's going on, Mr. Espinoza? Good to have you, my friend. We'll have a little pause for the calls for him jumping in. Oh, he may have lost power, brother. We got to fill him back up and put at least two more Millers in Daddy's cup. Before we talk about Clawful, we'll talk about another thing or two. What else is going on in the community this week? Well, a few things this past week. We got blessed with that glory that is Battlesuit Teela. So for anybody who has not seen the Battlesuit Teela picture, I don't know where you've been. But she is rotten, friends. I tell you what, we got a little sneak peek from David Goyer, who is at the helm working on the film, supposedly. So Mr. Goyer releases some production shots to show us exactly what they're working on. And what we got was a mechanized thought. I don't know. Teela, in my mind, and I know I don't want to get on this topic because we have a lot to talk about and I really don't want to get too far into it. But, guys, the world of Masters is built on might and magic. And it's built on sorcery. And really, if we go back and we look at Mark Taylor's stuff, the early on concepts for Zodak, which we've talked about, the early on concepts for Man-at-Arms, the idea was this was a post-apocalyptic landscape that had more or less fallen back into dark times due to a very advanced society crumbling. So a lot of these things, this Eternian magic exists. There's the science piece, the science aspect, the technology aspect that's there, but those are ancient and they're secrets that are hidden and have been lost. So the early concept idea for Man-at-Arms being that he was a scavenger and he was building his weapons and building, you know, his armor from things that he was finding in this landscape. So the idea of Teela wearing a highly weaponized, highly mechanized, complete and total bodysuit, and this is what you show us we're supposed to be excited about for this movie? GTFO. There is no way that they can honestly believe that this is what we would be interested in for a Masters of the Universe movie. I started a little bit of fury on Twitter. I've never done that before. I mean, I've been on Twitter, but I've never really had anybody pay attention to my tweets, and that's fine with me because I use Twitter to read, you know, what people are thinking or what, you know, this director is excited about this movie and he wants to talk about it, you know, whatever that may be. But I threw a little bit of shade over at David Goyer's post that was retweeted by the MOTU movie. And, man, it just started to snowball and some people jumping in. And I really felt like at least somebody was hearing the voices of the things that we were saying because, you know, everybody who agreed within that thread or was talking on that thread was really disgusted by the fact that Sony would even believe that this would be something that we'd be interested in. So, at least if they were listening, if they saw the feedback, if they were following the thread of things that were being said, the fans aren't happy, baby, and, you know, we will not be calmed. And give us some more stuff like that and see how riled we get, because that's really just not what I'm interested in for this movie at all. And if that is the direction we're going in, guys, we are doomed. I've also heard that it's a possibility that it was production or a test shot that was thrown out to gauge fans' reactions to the picture. I did notice on the table there was a Thundercats comic set in there, which was the Thundercats He-Man crossover. But underneath that, they did have the Eternity War. So some saving grace in that picture that they are at least referencing some canon by DC, which, you know, is all right with me as far as Eternity War goes. But I do not want to get in to the hot mess that was Thundercats either. So if that is the direction that we're going in, man, scary. I hope that's really not what happens. But hey, man, we'll see. 2019's still a little ways away, B. So we'll let it do what it do, and we'll see if they send us any more stupid pictures, folks. So let's have a little pause for the calls on that, and let's move her on. I'm going to keep talking and get our clawful on. So, obviously, I don't know why, but this particular podcast, we always have technical issues in the beginning. I always have technical issues getting rolling. You guys are always so patient with me, and I greatly appreciate it. Y'all are the mafia. I love each and every one of y'all, and I appreciate you coming out and hanging out with me and letting me do what we do. And one of those things is we do a character profile, dude. So the character profile for this week, talking about Clawful. And, of course, Clawful will be the guy that is the focus for tomorrow night. So with that said, let's have one more pause for the calls, put a little more beer in my head, and then we will move it on into the Clawful discussion and talk about this cool figure that, honestly, I've always liked Clawful, but never gave him just a whole lot of credence, man. He's a big crab. He's a big lobster. And I don't know. I am a very strangely artistic person who likes symmetrical things. And that right-hand claw just being monstrously larger than the left just always threw me off. So, you know, strange things I remember about the figure being a kid, or strange reactions that I had to the figure as a kid. Very first time I ever saw Clawful, a cousin of mine, also collected Masters. He's about a year older, but had a creek behind his house, and we would, I'd often go over there and play and take my Masters over, and we'd line up against his Evil Warriors, and sure enough, he breaks out Clawful on me, and I'd never seen Clawful, and we were down by the creek, and there were some crawfish, or crawdads, as we like to call them. We eat them, but, you know, I don't know what y'all do with them, but we eat them. But we're down the creek with the crawdads playing with old Clawful. You know what it'd be. I mean, they got the old lobster man, you see. So he fit right in, but that was my earliest memories of Clawful. Didn't really know a whole lot about him as a character when I was a kid. Just more or less got graced with the toy at one point after my cousin had him, and always thought he was pretty cool. But, you know, the big claw bugged me for some reason. Weird like that. Let it be what it be. But we're going to move it on with this podcast number 23. So you guys probably wonder, why is 23 seconds the Lucky Legends number? Why does that matter to me? What is the significance of 023? Taylor, my wife, was born on the 23rd. So that's always been a very important number for us. I used to own a restaurant. If you guys know anything about me or about my background or what I used to do, I've done a lot of things. I've been a bartender. I've taught school, bounced around. I've been a roamer and a drifter. I have been a corporate executive for Sprint. I've also owned a $1.4 million restaurant. And so throughout my time and doing all of these different things, I picked up on different parts of what it is and what it do, and this is what it be. So we're going to talk about old Clawful, you see. I don't have any idea, guys, why I got on to tell. Oh, okay, now I know. The $1.4 million restaurant is a little place called Powell's, and if you guys have never heard of it, it's Sudden Service Food and Flash. Very cool deal. But I used to own that restaurant, and when we opened that restaurant, Taylor and myself, it was store number 23. So 23 has always been significant. Johnson got on a ramble and had no idea what I was telling you guys. Just make it rhyme, Johnson, make it rhyme. That's all that matters. but no, so 23 has always been super important to me. So podcast number 23, here we go. That is for the restaurant, you know, 23 for my girl, and then let's do Clawful here, squirrel. So Clawful, introduced in 1984. He was the warrior with the grip of evil. So what we saw right off the bat, obviously, guys, he looks like a crab. He's got the big claw. Introduced in 84, he was a part of the third wave of figures. So what we saw in our first wave of figures, we saw some humanoid slash animal type characters. And so those were kind of outfitted with Beastman, Merman, Stratos. So we had a bird person, we had a water person, you had your beast gorilla person. So what Wave 3 did was capitalize sort of on the success of that first wave and delve in a little bit deeper. And Wave 3 gave us Clawful, but also gave us some other human-slash-animal crossovers. So we got Buzz Off out of that line. We also got Whiplash. Let's see, who else did we have in there? Cobra Khan, Web Store. So that first wave there, or that third wave there, going back and try to recapitalize on the success of the first wave and crossing those figures over with the concepts and the ideas of animal-like creatures. So that was pretty cool. Wave two, like I said, focused more on humanoid characters, but wave three, going back to that design. So this is where we got this lobster man of mine. So old Clawful, he's hashtag shirtless for Dano. He's always hanging out. But, you know, he had that big claw and he'd whip you about. So Clawful, very interesting to me when we got him as a figure. Now, when I originally got Clawful myself, of course, he comes with his armor and his little mace. But one of the first things that I noticed about this figure when I got him was that we had these bumpy legs that were very different. You had the clawed toes, the three-toed, or really more four if you look back here on the back. Of course, I know that's sort of the back and balance the figure, but as far as you look at it, they're claws. So you got four claws or four toes, I guess, with that particular sculpt and design. So that was very interesting to me that this was the first figure that I got that was different. He wasn't wearing boots. He wasn't like the first wave of figures that I had, or even anybody that was in the second wave. So, designed by Colin Bailey. So Colin Bailey designed Clawful. Pause for cause. Clawful was translated into a prototype that was made, or he was actually. The figure that we ended up getting was a bit translated from the prototype, but it's actually fairly close. So the original prototype for Clawful featured up here a little bit bigger and wider of a neck, and it's sculpted down into that lobster design that you see on his armor. So when that prototype was out there, you know, that's what they throw out there first to get it out there so you can see what it's going to look like. And then if everybody likes the prototype and checks off on that, we go into toy, you know, mass production with them. So, what's up, Jakey B? Need a kegerator, buddy. You ain't lying. I just need a little draft over here. I'll be able to turn, you know, do something here with the spout of the old Point Dread, the old Talon Fighter, and just pour them right on out of there. We ought to work that out. I'm sure there's something we can do. But so, you had Clawful a little bit different than what you see here with that original prototype. So, again, same lobster look. You had the same lobster face. He did actually feature the much larger right claw. It was a bit more lobsterish looking. It was open. It was very cool looking there. Did, again, feature this right hand. And in the particular prototype of him, he still had the monster boots. So, interestingly enough, early on in Clawful's design, he didn't sport this blue waist piece. He didn't sport the blue crazy buzz-off slash legs, whiplash legs. What he was originally designed with was more of a brown design. So there was brown on that chest piece, which was actually just more lobster looking because it had the brown lines across it. It really is what it translated to being on the clicking armor piece that we got. But a bit more stylized on the prototype, looked more lobsterish. But brown here, and then also was wearing brown boots and had the monster feet. What's happening there, Magnus for Mags? What's happening, my friend? So, much like Skeletor, he featured the monster toes in the original design. The brown on flesh tone, and of course with the bright red for the lobster look. That particular prototype, he did have the brown boots, had the Skeletor monster toes, and he was featured with a Grayskull mace. So, he does actually come with the Grayskull mace, but in the prototype version, his Grayskull mace was brown. So just a little bit of different, just a little color variation there for the early days in, I guess, what they were deciding that this figure was eventually going to look like. Now, what's really interesting about him is by the time he made it to the 84 dealer catalog, so when Mattel put out their 1984 dealer catalog, they had changed it up, so he now had the standard male buck. So he has the He-Man buck. And then, of course, they slim the neck down and just give him, you know, lobster head. So we don't have the massive hulking neck that kind of went out on the figure. It really didn't look all that great, to be quite honest with you guys. This ended up looking much better than what we would have seen with the original prototype design. But what we saw there is he still had the monster boots, and they were still represented as brown. So even in that 84 catalog, and this was sort of what Mattel's putting out there saying, you know, this is the dealer catalog saying this is what's coming and this is what you guys are going to get. We still saw him with the brown motif and also the brown Grayskull mace and the brown monster boots. Now, interestingly enough, when he actually went over into production to become a figure, they switched up a few things. They went with the blue motif that we ended up with on Clawful. So Clawful then gets his blue belt, and he got blue boots. But interestingly enough, he still had monster toes. So for you variant guys that are out there, when the very first Clawfuls were being made and the very first run of these were being made, you actually got monster toes or got the Skeletor monster feet versus getting the Buzz Off feet that we actually became accustomed to later. Now, when I got the figure originally, I got the Buzz Off feet. I had no idea that there actually were Skelly feet. And to be quite honest with you, I did not know that there were Skelly feet until a month ago when I found this cat out in the wild. And I ran back to Lucky Legends to show you guys, and I was like, holy crap, look what I found. And you guys were like, yeah, I know, there's monster toes. But it's all good. So got that variant of Clawful out there. If you guys, if you vintage guys like to collect those variants, you got the monster toe variants. You've also got the Buzz Off feet variants. So those are pretty cool. So later on, they did the blue to match the belt, and what we finally saw with Clawful was he was packaged with the green version of the mace. But like I said, somewhere in the middle of production, and we don't quite know when it happened, but we started out with monster toes, and somewhere halfway through the production, we switched up, got into the Buzz Off toes, and those are now the more common variant of Clawful. Let's see. What else did I want to talk to you guys about that? Oh, well, the biggest piece of what I wanted to talk to you guys about that, at least as far as vintage Clawfuls go, I had a chance the other day. I was out on the road doing some traveling. I do a lot of driving. I'm out seeing clients pretty often. So it's pretty cool because while I'm out and about, a lot of times I can stop into vintage toy stores, or I can stop into mom's and pop's places that possibly has some masters. There's a lot of places around here that are sort of thrift stores that have a lot of throwback vintage stuff, or they'll just be marked antiques. So I get to go by a lot of those places while I'm out and about. So yesterday, while I was out running around, got lucky, ran into a couple of things that I wanted to share with you guys. And the main one, it just made so much sense because I knew what we were going to be talking about tonight. And I ran across this very cool, now he's very beat up, and or not he, but his card more or less. So I found this vintage fella still with his original card. Obviously the bubble had popped off at one point. And it looks like it was probably due to some water damage or something there on the back, because the bottom of the card kind of folded up a little bit. But what we see on the back is this beautiful Errol McCarthy artwork. Got Tila, so there's Thigh Gap Tila, battling against good old Clawful with that beautiful Errol McCarthy artwork. And we've got our Heroic Warriors and Evil Warriors on the back. Again, like I said, in the production, we ended up hanging on to this lobster design. So there it is on his chest plate. He's got his green Grayskull mace. So in production, we changed over to a green Grayskull mace. Has the loop to go around his hand. So that was made to better equip his Buzz Off hand over here to be able to hold that around the hand, but a very cool thing, very cool find to see it out in the wild and to see that thing laying there and somebody have it marked for sale. So I immediately said, hey, I know exactly who would be interested in this. Let me go ahead and pick it up. Didn't have the meeting with it. That would have been pretty cool. But either way, still kind of cool to have this old artwork, even though the box is pretty beat up. So for Thirsty Thursday tomorrow night, we're going to give him away as well. So I will send this clawful out to somebody. Now, he's not going to be our main event. Obviously, I don't like to give away that kind of stuff in the main event. This is more or less just to throw out there for somebody who's, you know, somebody will appreciate this, I'm sure. We've got a 35-year-old toy that's legs ain't even been turned. So somebody can have a look at that and love this sucker, give him a nice home, and then we'll get my old vintage clawful gone. So that was a cool find, something that I picked up while I was out and about. Now, I did pick up something else, which was very cool to see it laying there with clawful. Let's have a pause for the calls. We'll wrap this up. And here's what it be. I found the old weapons pack, you see? So this was pretty cool to find laying, you know, in a store that somebody had brought in and sold and traded. So here is an old school vintage weapons pack. You guys look really close. You've got your Yellow Beast Man armor. You've got some hand weapons, some guns. We've got that blue sword and axe for Grayskull, or for He-Man. We've also got Grayskull's weapons, a whip for old Beastie, a shield, Zodak's armor, and then the yellow armor for Beastman. So very cool to actually run across this in a wild, in the wild, guys. I really could not even explain to you. I mean, you guys know. You know what the feeling is. We're all collectors, and we do this because we love it. And I just really cannot tell you how it made me feel to look over and see this hanging on a peg with a price tag on it. I was a kid again for just a second, and it was so great. So got that to share with you guys, and for some lucky winner tomorrow night. So we'll do this weapons pack, all right? So that was a little something else picked up for you guys. Thought that was really cool, especially just to find it in a random store that I stopped at. So that was just really awesome. The store is absolutely loaded, guys, with figures and Transformers and just tons upon tons of things that we loved as kids. Got tons of Joes, tons of wrestling figures. I wanted to go live and go live with you guys and kind of walk through it and just show you guys what was there. I've got to go back up that way tomorrow. It's about 2 hours away from home. So hopefully tomorrow afternoon, maybe if the guys there are cool with it, we could do a little live and I could run through and show you all some of the things that are there. And if you guys spot something you like, let me know. PayPal me some cash. I'll pick it up for you. I don't care. So we'll give that a go tomorrow. We might do lunch with legends and see how that goes and see if we can't step out and maybe pick up a cool thing or two. Now, with Clawful, was this the end of our Clawful discussion? Not so much. This is the end of our vintage Clawful discussion. This is vintage Clawful. But wait, is there another? Yes, there is, and you guys know that. We have Filmation Clawful. Why is this Clawful so different than Filmation Clawful? To be quite honest with you guys, I don't know. But what we can speculate as far as why the figure is so incredibly different from what we actually got in the toy line is something that's kind of neat about Clawful, in a sense that the Clawful figure actually came out after the Clawful Filmation character. So the Clawful Filmation character, oftentimes what happened or what we've seen in the past is that the artists for Filmation who were doing the work and developing the characters would go off of some of the early concept art. So the chances are what's probably happened is we had some early concept art that showed Clawful looking very different than what he was, probably had a different name as we've seen with most of the concept art that we've seen. But the Filmation team probably worked off of that concept art, then created the Clawful that they created. He was still under a working title, Clawful, and that's who he became. So who is the Filmation Clawful? What's so different about him versus the Clawful that we got? Well, to be quite honest with you guys, everything. Everything is different about Filmation Clawful. So tomorrow night, one of the things that we're going to do, the main event for Thirsty Thursday, we're going to talk about the Filmation Clawful. So here he is. This is the beautiful Clawful, Filmation style. Horn of Doom and worth your while. So, old Filmation Clawful, there he be in all of his boxed and beautiful glory. Now, if you'll notice something right off the bat, guys, obviously, completely different figure. You've got different hands. You've got different face. You've got a different color, a different armor. Well, that mace kind of looks the same. Guys, that's where it ends because wholesale changes with this cat, my friend. But the interesting thing about the Filmation Clawful versus the Clawful that most of us grew up on as far as if you only had the figure, the Filmation Clawful was a bit different. He was much more adept. He was a better, more cunning, more sly villain than the Clawful that we're used to. Now, our regular Clawful, he's made some appearances. He's been in the mini that was normally packaged in with him, Clash of Arms, beautiful piece of American literature. Absolutely have to pick that up. If you've never read Clash of Arms, what's wrong with you? It's one of the greatest pieces of Masters of the Universe lore that there is. I'm sure old James Manning over at King He-Man and Masters of the Universe wouldn't mind to throw that sucker up when we get done, throw up a little Clash of Arms, let everybody know what you're working with. But Clawful, very adept there. Also, as far as how I perceive him to be a figure, or with the figure that we got, much tougher than the way that he turns out later on. Now, Filmation saw him quite different. Filmation saw him as one of the only evil warriors to ever stand up to Skeletor to his face. Throughout Filmation, you have multiple taunts from multiple evil warriors stating that one day they would like to overthrow Skeletor. Maybe they feel that their power is better than Skeletor's, or that they could do the job better than the boss. But the truth is, Clawful is the only figure who ever said it to Skeletor's face. So very brazen, this particular version of Clawful. We saw him, he was very first introduced in Driel's Return. So if you guys have ever saw the Filmation episode Driel's Return, you know that that deals with Trolla, and that deals with Orko's female counterpart, Driel. And what we see there is we see the Filmation version of Clawful stealing the Horn of Doom. So he comes with the Horn of Doom. We do have that here in the box. So over here you've got the Horn of Doom. But that's how his introduction to Filmation began. He steals the Horn of Doom. Skeletor, always pouring praises on Clawful, was actually very fond of Clawful, felt that he was much more astute. At one point in time in one of the episodes, actually called him his right-hand man. So a very different Clawful than the one that we are used to, or at least if you grew up with a toy instead of Filmation. Now, if you cut your teeth on Filmation, this may be Clawful to you. Both claws, same size. So if you look at Clawful in the Filmation version, they say, well, how can he be Clawful? He doesn't really look like Clawful. He has more of a reptile type thing going down his head, like a fin. He's almost kind of like a dragon. He definitely seems more reptile-ish in how he acts and how he speaks. So, you know, what happened to the big claw? How can he be Clawful without the big claw? But he's got claws on both hands. Now, they are the same claw. So if you're watching Filmation, what we did see a lot of times is the reuse of cells or cell art in their animation in Filmation. So in order to cut down costs, a lot of the cells were used over and over and over. And because of that, in order to make Clawful look this way, had to flip the sail over, and now he looks this way. If you had one large right claw, that becomes very difficult to do because every time Clawful turns around, the claw's on the other hand. So, much like it was pointed out earlier in the podcast, things are finally normal up here tonight. We're flipping things around, and my claw's on the right. So, let's go ahead and finish this drink. Let's take that pause from the call. Because now we understand the reason for the same size claws. In Things Go Bump in the Night, which is another episode that particular Clawful was featured in, what we do see is we finally see Skeletor losing his adoration for Clawful. So, starts out Clawful being his right-hand man. He's going to be the guy that Skeletor dotes on and sort of trusts to do all of the dirty work and sees him as confident enough to do it. But when we get into Things Go Bump in the Night, we see that Skeletor is done. So, again, of course, nobody is powerful as Skeletor. Nobody's mean or is evil. And nobody can get the job done quite as well. So, sort of disrespecting Clawful and letting Clawful know he's unhappy with him. In that particular episode, Clawful vows that he will someday overthrow Skeletor. So, once again, that goes back to that confident stance that Clawful took that no other evil warrior had taken, and tells Skeletor to his face that he can be shaken. So, what we see moving forward, beyond that with Clawful, now, like I said, the Filmation Clawful came first. He was actually introduced in Filmation in 83. So even though he was first, we still ended up with the character that we got. Of course, prototype already there for him. But so this was the Clawful that we got versus the Filmation version. I don't know how accepting I would have been of the Filmation version as a toy, as a kid, because to me, I mean, this is Clawful. This makes sense. The Lobster Man. It's all good. That's what it be. But then we switched it up when we got on over into Germany, because Germany did this stuff a little bit different, man, and their stuff was a little bit tough. So you had Clawful, and Clawful was rough. He was an ocean gladiator. Described as an ocean gladiator in the 84 German Interpart Condor Motu comics. God, say that five times fast, Clawful. He had a crazy grip. His grip had crazy strength. Once he snapped into something, you could not get away from his grip. So there was actually an instance in the 84 Condor comics where He-Man actually had to call on the power of Grayskull to cause Clawful to put down the sword. Because Clawful had the grip on the sword, he would not let go, could not be wrenched free from his hands. So He-Man calls down the power, scorches the claw, and Clawful drops the sword. So very interesting that, of course, in those German books, man, those guys, they were so much tougher. Our Motu were badass over there. I wish we had a translation into an English version, man. I would love to listen to those German audio plays. MYP is moving to 2002. MYP, Mike Young Productions, really sold this character short. We go back to the original design of Clawful. We go back to how he originally looked. However, he's stupid. So they go and make him a bumbling, dim, dull-witted moron. Now, I can see it. I mean, it makes sense. He's a lobster man, for God's sake. But I don't know. We've had this discussion before. We really don't enjoy the fact that just because a character is large and menacing, he has to be an idiot. So it's kind of the direction the MYP went with Clawful. Really only there to provide comedy relief, to be there as one of the large hulking attackers who gets whipped. Clawful really just didn't have too much to do in MYP. Other than be a dumbass, you see. So that's what that was. Now, I did love the way he was drawn, love the way he was designed. He was huge. Detail that was put into it as far as his shell, his claw. I mean, he was amazing. They gave a little bit of a backstory. We did see an episode where in the episode The Island, He was actually from a race of crab-like people who lived underwater, and we get to meet Clawful's cousin. And so Clawful's cousin actually played a much larger part in that episode than Clawful did, other than to provide the comedic relief that they click with their claws to speak underwater, and even Clawful can't understand the language himself. Oh, good God, boys. Let's put this MYP on the shelf, because the design, perfect. The animation, spot on. But, man, why is his mind gone? Come on now. Now, what we did see later on, Classics did expand on it just a little bit. He was from a race called the Karakani. They were a crab-like or crustacean-like race, and he was able to summon other underwater creatures and fight. Actually, as the story goes on to tell, if you guys are accepting of this or not, Evil Lynn, that crafty old thought, she cast a little spell on Clawful, and you know what it be, gave him that genius IQ, you see. So Evil Lynn actually cast a little spell on Clawful, make him smarter, and to make him much more cunning than he is. And he goes on to lead a battalion in the Ultimate Battleground, kids. So in the second Ultimate Battleground, he goes on to fight, and he gets that ass whooped that night. So if you read the backstory there, Clawful defeated by the fearless Photog. Get that out of here, man. Let's pause for the cause and let's drink his beer. That's the end of our Clawful discussion. That's all I've got for tonight. But I picked up a couple other things. It's going to make y'all feel all right. Guys, I got this magazine as a kid, and it wasn't as crispy as this one right here. Oh, my God, I've had to be so careful with this beer. I've got a couple of these on the way, guys. So excited to share these with you. And we still have a project that we've got do. We've got to do our little throwback to the magazine. I want to get back working on that too. But that's just a bunch of stuff that we still got to do. I mean, the Waffle Mafia guys, I don't think you guys really understand how much we've spread out and what all we've done. And we've got all these other groups that are our daughters and sons. And I really am amazed at you guys and the way that you contribute and the things that you do every day. And I swear, it's the reason that I do what I do and I say what I say, because I love all of you guys and I do this stuff for you. And I get excited to give away some of this Motu, dude. So tomorrow night, y'all join me for Thirsty Thirsty. We'll do that thing. And find a friend that you can bring. Hell, let's bring some more people in, guys. We got some big stuff coming on. We got WaffleCon coming up. That's going to be around the corner just before too long. And we can get together and drink some beers and sing some songs. So I appreciate all y'all hanging with me. This has been number 23, and y'all have heard the background of Waffles and all that crap about me. And Johnson got lost and didn't know what to say, but just picked it up and had a beer anyway. So thank you, guys. I appreciate y'all hanging out with me. It's been number 23. And let's have one more pause for the calls to you from me. I love all you guys. Thanks for hanging out with me. And, you know, thanks for doing that thing. And we'll see you tomorrow night for all the joy that that'll bring. We'll see you guys later. We'll talk to you. We'll see you. Peace.